coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. That's the place to go now. HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that. We were having a lot of technical problems with various sites. HagmanReport.com for videos, audios, links to the videos, links to the audios, links to everything. That's HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that website. HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. HagmanStore.com for some of the greatest coffee you'll ever have. That's HagmanStore.com as well. And, there's that. Tonight, join Steve Quayle, myself, for the private intelligence briefing for the final warning. Brace for Impact Conference, the last private briefing of the series. This will be number six of the series. All right. I want to thank you all for your support, your gracious, your kind support. We are working very hard, diligently, as a matter of fact, to make a difference, not just behind the cameras and or in front of the cameras, I should say, and not just in front of the microphones, but behind them as well. And I want to thank you for your support to make that happen, because it takes a lot of effort, time, energy, assets, human resources, actually personnel, people, to make that happen, to investigate what needs to be investigated. And of course, with me, the first hour riding shotgun is Randy Taylor. Before I get to Randy, I want to mention as well, I want to thank our sponsors, including Lightstream. Folks, if you're like most people, you've got a balance, and you have a balance on your credit cards and a higher rate of interest than you would like. I can guarantee that. I know that to be a fact. Why not turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money? Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. The rate's fixed, so it's not going to go up over the life of the loan. The application process, well, it's 100% online. You don't even have to leave your house to apply. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 without any fees whatsoever. It's fantastic. Folks, here's how to get this offer. This is how to get this offer. By the way, Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. All right? So here's how to get this offer. Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I want to spell it out for you. LightStream.com/Hagman. lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Now, this is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. Two N's on Hagman. Again, thank you for being part of the Hagman family. Excuse me, COVID, right? Speaking of that, real quick, Nancy Pelosi, her crazy Nancy. I don't know whether you saw today, earlier today, her video. I'm talking about the 25th Amendment and establish a commission, former presidents, former vice presidents, former cabinet members. Yeah, this is real constitutional, woman. And by the way, how'd you like how'd you like Nancy Pelosi talking and having her face diaper falling off? Okay. I mean, seriously, I don't know if you saw that. Eric the Tech, not that you had any time to do this, but I sent a video of Nancy. Did you have time to grab that? Nah, forget it then. You can see it. Look, you can see it online. All right. Her face diaper's falling off. Okay. She's using her hand. I mean, you talk about, this is the way not to, if there is truly a pandemic that a mask, a regular mask, not a piece of cloth, Not some handmade piece of crap that doesn't do diddly for you. If you're really worried about a pandemic and you're wearing, you know, something with cats or oranges on it, seriously? And it's not covering your nose and it's falling off and you're trying to act like a Speaker of the House. What the hell's wrong with you? That's the only thing that's all I got. What in the hell is wrong with you? I mean, seriously. And those who believe her, what the hell's wrong with you? Bunch of morons out there. I'm serious. Oh, and by the way, those of you who really trusted the plan, Hillary and Obama and I don't know, maybe Eric the Tech, and they're going to Gitmo. That's right. Oh, did you know? I mean, they're going to be arrested. They're crimes. Did they commit treason? Abso-friggin-lutely. But did you hear this? Barr, U.S. Attorney John Durham, is not going to release a report on Russia criminal investigation before the election. So, come here. Whisper in my ear. Tell me how it's going for you. How's that plan working out for you? And while you're at it, why don't you tell me what a moron you are? Randy Taylor, analyst, HagmanReport.com. Help me. Help me, Rhonda. Song, help me, Rhonda. How you doing, man?
Hey, buddy. What's happening?
I'm fired up.
A little bit, anyway.
What?
It's been an interesting 24 hours. Interesting what? I was on here 48 hours ago, I think.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That was kind of munched together, you know.
That's okay. you wake up and get hit with the news, and it's like overwhelming at times. And the one thing that I take comfort in is the desperation of the Democratic Party. It tells me what I'm seeing just tells me they know that the jig is up.
Yeah.
You would never fathom even talking about removing a president, 3 weeks from an election. I mean, it's just, the stuff they throw out there just floors me. It's just one thing after another. There's a certain panic you can sense. They're running scared. I enjoy it watching it, but, I just really want this election to be over and hopefully the United States, get on a trajectory that it needs to be on.
You worried? Or are you, and I'm serious about asking this question. Are you worried about, the Donald Trump not getting back in? You're worried about the left takeover of the United States?
No, I don't. I don't think it's going to happen. Anything's possible. If it does, it'll be short lived.
Meaning what?
They're getting into dangerous territory. They need to, like Pelosi, doing things like that. Let's say that she did something like that and she got it passed and actually tried to remove the president. I just would see, I know that those nut jobs there in Michigan, planning on kidnapping Whitmer. I mean, those guys were a bunch of rednecks. No organization.
Didn't you and I talk about this before or no?
No, because this happened since last time we talked.
My thought is there are five FBI agents, five FBI CIs or confidential informants, and one guy with an idea that he had maybe a couple of months ago.
Well, I put out a tweet this morning, and remember the Miami 7?
Yeah,
many years ago.
And that's true. Yeah,
you gotta watch these and people. People that don't pay any attention to them or keep track of them. What happens is the FBI will get have an informant in the group, somebody, you know, somebody they've got the goods on, whatever, confidential informant is what they call them. And they'll start working that confidential informant. And more often than not, they tell the confidential informant, okay, look, let's push this into action so they can, you know, make some arrests, which to me borderlines on entrapment.
93 World Trade Center. I got an idea. Let's use real explosives. Yeah.
Well, that, yeah, right. You remember that one as well.
Yeah.
But what it is these guys were a bunch of people sitting around a campfire, drinking beer, had some ideas. And then the confidential informant starts working them. I've seen cases where they supplied them the arms. They supplied them with dummy bombs.
Yep.
You know, different things like that. And I just think that you go over the line at that point as far as law enforcement.
But even if they're for real, if all the entire group is, you know, 100% for real, they are not on the side of President Trump. They're anarchists. They hate the cops.
No, there's video out there where the guy, one of the guys they bagged is slamming Trump.
Yeah.
These are not Trump fans. And the other thing you have to keep in mind, people like this, and Lord knows we've all known people like this a long time in our life. And I'm from the South, so I've seen a lot of folks like this. Their mind changes depending on how much beer they're drinking. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't hard fast anything. I mean, chances of them getting to Whitmer's summer house and kidnapping her probably were pretty slim, because they would head out. Somebody would stop at a gas station somewhere, pick up a 6-pack. That would evolve into a 12-pack. And then pretty soon they'd be sitting down the street from Whitmer's house talking about what they were going to do that day. I mean, this is the type of mentality. This is not a military precision unit. This is not, you know, someone's going in to do an extraction. It's a bunch of morons. And then for Whitmer to sit there, and I'm just so sick and tired of this white supremacist talk.
Oh, yeah.
It's become, that horse is dead. And they keep beating it. Donald Trump is not a white supremacist, period. End of story. Yep. Everything that they've said about him has been taken out of context, misquoted, and in most cases, flat out lying. And that's it. And I really wish that President Trump himself at some point would set the story straight on that. Something that the media is present on, say during a debate, something that they can't backtrack on, that they can't alter, this something that's said live. You know, this has got to be put down, because I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. You see on social media every day people calling Trump a racist. Donald Trump is not a racist, period. End of story. And it's just, this is a narrative and propaganda that's been drummed up by the left, shoved forward and perpetuated daily, like in perpetual motion from the media. And it's ridiculous. And I think that a lot of people are waking up to that and starting, you know, if people are starting to evaluate and really look at things, they'll see that these are lies. And Lord knows there's stupid people out there. There's always going to be stupid people in our population. And like Ron White says, you can't fix stupid. Mm-hmm. So we're stuck with them. Hopefully that they're going to be the minority. Okay, I just don't know. I think that it's going to be very interesting the election night. My concern is after 12 a.m., what happens November 4th? That's going to,
yeah.
That's pretty much going to define what goes on, at least until January 1st. I think this will end up in front of the Supreme Court.
Unless there's a huge Trump victory, unless there's just an undeniable Donald Trump victory.
I think he will. He'll be victorious election night. And I think at some point, somebody's going to have to draw the line and say, okay, up to this date, up to a certain date, no, nothing's going to be counted after that. Because you could be sitting there counting ballots until, you know, July of 2021. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep, I do. But
I think that between November 4th and January 1st, massive amounts of voter fraud are going to be exposed. They're going to become public.
Yeah.
I just, a gut feeling. And it's going on. We talked about this the other day. You know, this should have been done on a trial run.
Yes.
You don't go into the most important election that I'll remember in my life. I'm almost 60 years old. And this is the most important election of my life so far. And you don't change up how the game is played. Which is a big game, but you don't change the rules of the game months before you play the game. That's the we the people got left out of this. And then I think that's what it boils down to. And truthfully, both sides should be upset because the left needs to remember what could happen playing by these rules if it was their candidate in an office. Because from this day forward and from this election forward, I'd say all gloves are off on either side. Things have changed. So we're not looking at, I wouldn't have dreamt of this 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Can you imagine if all this was going on during an Obama campaign, Obama reelection?
Obama's a racist, or Obama is this, or Obama. I mean,
well, Obama is a racist. I can prove that. I can prove.
Well, the fact is, though, you even dared to question his constitutional legitimacy as a candidate for president. You were the racist. You were the moron. You were the conspiracy theorist. And I remember at that time period that you want to talk about that? There's no hell. There's no way in hell any radio station, especially any conservative or not conservative, any Republican slanted biased radio station would have you on talking about the ineligibility, constitutionally speaking, of Barack Hussein Obama. That's how bad it was. And, you know, I really wish Obama was back so we could treat him the same way that the left is treating Trump. And I just wonder how everyone would really appreciate that. It angers me.
I think Obama was cut a lot of slack because he was black. And
that should anger the blacks.
We talk about white privilege. Well, in Obama's case, and prove me wrong, he had black privilege. Black privilege of being the first black president that gave him somewhat of a novelty card. And we have to look at, we're always concerned with what history says, because people are going to look back at this and they're going to review it, and they're going to say we got it right or we got it wrong. But when history looks back, here's your first black president that shows that the U.S. is very progressive, blah, 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 blah. But when they use that card as a barrier and they don't want to, because the last thing they want is for U.S. history to say, yeah, we had a black president and then we found out that he was a criminal. You understand what I'm saying? That's going to be a really bad mark on history.
It was.
And that's what people look at. And unfortunately, he took advantage of that. He took full advantage of that. He took advantage of it. Eric Holder took advantage of it. Lynch took advantage of it. Hillary Clinton took advantage of it. I mean, we could go down the list through his cabinet and all the things that were done and through people in various organizations, we call them departments within the United States government that were appointed by Barack Obama that did nothing but defile the office and get away with it because they were operating underneath Barack Hussein Obama, black president, with a hint of a Muslim background. So you had two things that would blow up in your face if you tried to pull the pin on it. Black president and, oh my God, well, if he is a Muslim, we can't be mean to Muslims. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
And it's, yeah. That, and sooner or later, because right now there's enough evidence, okay, from these handwritten notes of John Brennan's and other, and this, not just that, things that were said during the Comey hearings, you know, there's enough evidence to arrest people, at least indict them.
Absolutely.
And we're not, but not a finger's being lifted. And that troubles me. I don't care if it's an election year. Okay. The election, that's just a date on a schedule. It's like Donald Trump said, my term goes until December 31st. You know, like when they talk about the nominee for SCOTUS. He's absolutely right. Because it's an election year really means squat. Okay? We have a job to do. We're not taking days off because it's an election year. You and I, my neighbor isn't. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that doesn't give them any kind of pass. They need to stay on track. And up until the day that the man leaves office, he's doing his job. And that's what I love about President Trump. He sees everything in black and white. There's really no gray areas with the man. And I dig that about him. Okay. We got too many gray areas in politics.
Yep.
And Obama, what we've seen coming out of hearings, and it's not like one gigantic day, 29 things came out. What we're getting is bits and pieces of declassified information scattered over the last, I'm going to say 6 to 8 months. I'm going to say a lot of this has shown up since the impeachment attempt. Okay. We're getting bits and pieces, but if you take all those bits and pieces and put them together, you've got a case. The very fact that Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation or whoever the group was, Hillary Clinton, though, paid for a dossier going into an election cycle. Okay? Is election interference.
Absolutely. Fusion GPS, CrowdStrike, and that leads to Seth Rich. It leads to, oh my gosh, you can't say that name because, you know, somebody's going to sue me. At least all this stuff. You're absolutely right, but go on.
Did you see the caveat, though, that was slipped in there of this was done to cover up for the email scandals of Hillary Clinton? Was a distraction. That was a distraction. That was trying to send this down a different road with less impact. Because at this point in time, I don't give a rat's butt about Hillary Clinton's emails. Okay. We've already, any American in their right mind knows she was wrong. Okay. But this was done for election interference. And this whole impeachment, the whole Russian collusion, all of the things they've gone after Donald Trump about have one common denominator, election interference. That's a crime, whether it's done domestically or internationally. That's criminal.
That's true.
Am I correct?
You are.
That is election interference. So when she plopped down the money on this Steele dossier, she did it with the full intent, attention Department of Justice, of election interference. It didn't have a rat's ass to do with her email scandal. That was thrown in as a caveat to distract. And that's the part that just burns my nads, okay? The woman should be in jail.
She should be.
I kid you not.
Yes.
I'm talking a no bond situation.
Yep.
Because she is a flight risk. She is a national security issue.
Both her and Bill. Yes.
And every time, I'm going to tell you what, every time she pops up on TV or on Twitter, I want to wrap my head in duct tape. because I want to explode. That woman, and God forgive me, I gotta remember I'm a Christian. That woman is evil. That woman is pure evil. And I don't care. Her husband, Bill Clinton, is not as evil as she is. And he's a scumbag. But his problem, his problem is he has a penis radar. Okay. It nails anything with a heartbeat. Clinton's attitude was with towards women, 8 to 80, blind, lame, or crazy. If they can't walk, I'll have Secret Service carry them.
Boy, there's a sound bite. It also a mental picture that hurts me.
Yeah, was that good? I pulled that one right out. Listen, this Hillary Clinton, I pray all the time. I pray every day, several times a day. Sometimes I just pray when I feel the need to. I pray for other people, pray for our country. The one thing that I pray for every morning over my coffee, and I know God's listening, I pray for justice. Okay. Donald Trump's not a saint. He's not. I see Donald Trump myself as more of Cyrus in the Bible.
There you go.
King Cyrus. Okay.
Yep.
God can use an imperfect human. The Lord knows we're all imperfect, but God can use the most imperfect human sometimes to do his work. People don't grasp that. If you're not familiar with the Bible, and I'm not talking about, I know what John 3:16 says. I'm talking about having read it cover to cover, taken certain portions of it and really analyzed them and researched them. But you look at Cyrus. Okay. Cyrus, it's just like when you look at King Nebuchadnezzar. He was up, he was down, he was up, he was down. But when he was pro-God, he was outstanding pro-God. When he was hard, you know, he was an extremist either way, okay? Yep. But a lot of that, Nebuchadnezzar did things too, though, that worked out for God's glory, okay? Cyrus. I see Trump more as Osiris. Do I see him as Billy Graham? Not even close. Okay. But at the same time, when I measure the man and I look at him, he's doing the Lord's work. And I'll tell you what should ensure that in the back of your brain. No other human being that I know of in politics, like I said, I'm almost 60 years old, could take what Donald Trump takes and still be standing.
That's right.
Most people, and I don't care who they were, would have tucked tail and ran. There's something about the man, because if you look at Mike Pence, in the beginning of the presidency, Mike Pence said many nice things about Donald Trump, but you weren't sure if he 100% believed it. You could sense that when you listened to him talk. It was the pro-party line and all that. But what I've watched over the last 3.5, almost 4 years, Mike Pence knows the man and now fully sees the vision that Trump sees.
I think, yeah, he's gotten to know him over that period of time, I think.
Yes. But yeah. It took that time, Doug.
Yep.
And now watching him, as I watched him in that debate, he absolutely believes. And Mike Pence is an extremely devout Christian.
Yep.
More so than most.
That's right.
This isn't a Nancy Pelosi, I'm a Christian. Ted Lieu, I'm a Christian. That isn't that. Mike Pence walks the walk, talks the talk. Okay. And I'm seeing a president that when he first started in office, and I'll be honest with you, he may not have been a Christian. Something happened. And I say today, Donald Trump's a Christian. So I don't know if he gave his heart to the Lord in office. I don't know. Something somewhere, there was some divine intervention and he sees things even more with even more clarity than he did when he started his presidency. Now, based on that, and what I see is the opposite, since no one's presented a better candidate to me, I'm sorry, I have to go with Donald Trump. Give me a better candidate, and I'll go with that candidate. But right now, in good versus evil, I'm sorry, I'm with Donald Trump. I'm 100% with the man. I back him. And I think that as patriots and Christians, let's not just look at patriots, okay? We have to look at the Christians in this country. Real, true Christians. Not Sunday Christians. Yeah, lots of those. Okay? I'm talking about people that actually live their life, that when they go to bed at night, they love the Lord Jesus. When they look in the mirror, they can honestly look in the mirror and know that they didn't do anybody wrong today. If they did, they make it right before they go to sleep. Those type of Christians. And there's a lot of them out here. And most of them are conservative. Most of them are patriots. And it's going to be up to us, because I consider myself in that group. I'm not a perfect man. You know that. You know more about me than most people know. I'm not perfect. Never claimed to be. Never will claim to be. But I try every day. I try every day to be a good man, be a good Christian, to set an example. Not that everybody's watching me, but there might be one person out there in the world that's watching me. I don't want their blood on my hands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I want to give that image. I want to be that person. You know, and it's going to be up to these Christians and these conservatives and these patriots to save this country. Even if something goes crazy and we end up with Joe Biden and whatever her name is, Kamala Harris, covered a nightmare, with those two in office. The biggest thing that I worry about, Biden is a dangling, okay? My concern with Biden is I don't think he's long for this world.
Nope.
Physically. I'm talking physically.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's deteriorating. He's deteriorating right in front of us. And if he were to pass away, Kamala Harris is president. And then look at who would be vice president.
Who could be
vice president? Who just moved up the food chain?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
You could have a Pelosi. Here's the thing. Pelosi wants to keep her reign as Speaker of the House. That's a pretty powerful position. I can see Kamala Harris selecting for, appointing and for confirmation a vice president. Remember, Ford, was it Ford that didn't have a vice president during his, or no, it was Ford Rockefeller. Johnson didn't have a vice president during that period of time.
Johnson? It was his wife.
Well, yeah. but I watch for Hillary to sneak in there, in some way.
Yeah, now that's been a concern. And I think it's in the back of her mind. That old bat just needs to go away quietly.
Yeah.
She needs to go play granny and get out of it, because the more she keeps interjecting herself into politics, the higher the hate factor is for her. And when justice comes down,
yeah,
okay, she's going to be screwed. Because if they actually get her into a courtroom and start hitting her with everything they have on her, she could do time.
Yeah.
And honestly, they need to do something, because there needs to be a warning set out to everyone. I'm talking about Democrat and Republican, that if you're in the government, legislative, executive, whatever, even judicial, and you're doing the wrong thing, you will answer for it. Because they don't get a pass that you and I don't. I mean, Doug, if you and I commit a crime, if any one of our listeners commits a crime, we're going to be indicted, arrested, and someone's going to prosecute us.
That's right.
This doesn't stop because you hit a certain level in the government that you're now, you know, above prosecution.
Right.
This whole thing with Barack Obama, Brennan, Holder, Joe Biden. See, Joe Biden should, the fact that he was Barack's vice president and all this stuff's coming out, he shouldn't even be on the ticket. He's a criminal. If we're sitting in a room and there's a conspiracy going down, guess what, man? We're party to it.
Oh, sure. And he was part.
Yeah, we can be prosecuted for that.
Absolutely.
And we're sitting here, and you're going to turn over the highest. You're going to turn over the highest seat in the land, the highest office, the most powerful office in the world, to a guy that won. Committed treason and illegal activities against an incoming administration, has a son who's a numbers runner for the Biden crime family. Man, they got a lot of nerve talking about Trump on anything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but here's the thing. Nobody even cares. The media doesn't care. They're like, oh, you know, Joe Biden. Oh, Joe Biden, you know. Yeah, come on. I'm so fed up, man. And I don't even know how to explain this to my kids. It's getting so bad, Doug, that I don't let them watch the news.
That's good. Because how do you explain this?
I can't. That's the thing. I can't explain it. And I'm dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to have the answers. I'm supposed to be, you know, the wisdom in the house. And I feel like an idiot because I can't explain it.
No, I get that.
Do you feel like that, though, too? Sometimes, it's like a runaway horse, a herd of horses. Like, where do we start? Where do we go? Oh, did you ask my question? Did you ask the constitutional guy yesterday?
Oh, you know, I didn't. I apologize. I knew.
I would really love to hear. That guy's smart.
Well, yeah, of course. What was the question again?
The question was, what can be done at this point about the mail-in ballots changing? I know in Pennsylvania, right now there's a court case in Pennsylvania, your state.
Right.
Challenging the ballots, and I absolutely promote. Oh, and by the way, I saw a poll, which I don't believe in, but it was one that actually said that Pennsylvania had Trump 6 points ahead of Biden in Pennsylvania.
Okay. he could be 60. He could be 60 below. You know, to me, these polls are just BS. I don't know.
We've been talking about how much we disregard polls and the information they give us is a joke. But,
let me ask you this. I was thinking about you. I found something. This is from 1959. All right. Now, everyone that you mentioned, Obama, Biden, Holder, Harris, every one of those leftist usual suspects out there, including Hillary Clinton. And you'd often said, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't believe where we're at today. Now, 1959, Mike Wallace had a program, and this is 2 minutes is all. Yeah, a program where he interviewed different people. And you know Ayn Rand, right?
Right.
Wrote, For Crying Out Loud, Atlas Shrugged. I've never seen an interview of her done. She's from Russia, and she was asked a question, and when I heard this question, I heard her answer, and thinking this is 1959, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, I got to show this, and then in the context that you just gave, I've got to show this, and I think this is pretty. This bolsters what you're saying. Go ahead and play that. Okay, watch this.
This is history.
Into the world of politics. Now, one of the principal achievements of this country in the past 20 years particularly, I think most people agree, is the gradual growth of social, protective legislation based on the principle that we are our brother's keepers. How do you feel about the political trends of the United States, the Western world?
The way everybody feels, except more consciously. I feel that it is terrible, that you see destruction all around you, and that you are moving toward disaster until and unless all those welfare state conceptions have been reversed and rejected. It is precisely these trends which are bringing the world to disaster, because we are now moving towards complete collectivism or socialism, a system under which everybody is enslaved to everybody. And we are moving that way only because of our altruist morality.
Yes, but you say everybody is enslaved to everybody, yet this came about democratically. A free people in a free country voted for this kind of government, wanted this kind of legislation. Do you object to the democratic process?
I object to the idea that people have the right to vote on everything. The traditional American system was a system based on the idea that majority will prevail only in public or political affairs, and that it was limited by inalienable individual rights. Therefore, I do not believe that a majority can vote a man's life or property or freedom away from him. Therefore, I do not believe that if a majority votes on any issue, that this makes the issue right. It doesn't.
All right. Then how do we arrive at action? How should we arrive at action?
By voluntary consent, voluntary cooperation of free men, unforced.
And how do our leaders arrive? How do we arrive at our leadership? Who elects? Who appoints?
The whole people elects. There is nothing wrong with the democratic process in politics. We arrive at it the way we arrived by the American Constitution as it used to be. By the constitutional process as we had it, people elect officials, but the powers of those officials, the powers of government, are strictly limited. They will have no right to initiate force or compulsion against any citizen except a criminal. Those who have initiated force will be punished by force, and that is the only proper function of government. What we would not permit is the government to initiate force against people who have hurt no one, who have not forced anyone. We would not give the government or the majority or any minority the right to take the life or the property of others. That was the original American system.
When you say take the property of others, I imagine that you're talking now about taxes.
Yes, I am.
And you believe that there should be no right by the government to tax. You believe that there should be no such thing as welfare legislation, unemployment compensation, regulation during times of stress, certain kinds of rent controls and things like that.
That's right. I'm opposed to all forms of control. I am for an absolute, laissez-faire, free, unregulated economy.
Okay, this goes on. We can watch this all day long. The part I wanted you to see was the fact that, you know, she had said that we're headed for disaster, and here we are at disaster's door. Pretty cool.
Well, she has a really good point, and something that always concerned me, and the fact that the generations that we're seeing now that are out of the universities and out of the schools, and even down, we're talking voting age up to about 35, is a very, very critical area. One of the reasons they set up like the Electoral College, you have your popular vote and then your Electoral College vote, because the Electoral vote is more accurate, in my opinion, than the popular vote. Because I can look at this groomed group of people that are really too young to know their butt from a hole in the ground, trying to make policy decisions by voting here in the United States. Okay, I prefer to have the Electoral College. It was set up by our forefathers for the simple reason they knew the problems that a popular vote could present. Okay, and you always hear how Hillary won by popular vote. Doesn't matter. Okay, the mass of people, sometimes I think, and I don't mean this in draconian terms, almost need to be protected from themselves. It's like your kid. You have your kid. You want to give your child certain freedoms as a good parent. We want them to grow and mature and have freedoms. At the same time, we still have a couple rules in place because we know that their young minds aren't at that point yet to make certain decisions. They don't have the life skills to make those decisions.
True.
And I think we're looking at that in a very large group. Now, these people think, a lot of these people think, well, I went to college, so I'm a genius. No, no, you're not. Okay. I had conversations with you and you're pretty much an idiot when you went to college. You're an idiot when you got out of college. Okay. I can't fix that. Now you have a degree and you're an idiot. Super. The difference between book smarts and street smarts. I think that the voting age at 18, personally, is kind of young. It was different 50 years ago.
Yep.
18-year-olds were very, very mature, married, had kids. It was just a different world. Now, the 18-year-olds I meet kind of frighten me. I do. When I go back and I think about, I went in the Army when I was 17. Okay. And I look at some of these people that I meet and I'm like, wouldn't survive. You're just not. And I blame the schools for that. And I also blame poor parenting for that. Okay. I was encouraged and forced to grow up quickly. Okay. But honestly, I didn't grow up any more quickly than the other kids in my neighborhood. It was just a different bar back then, a different set of standards. And they've been grooming this young pool in the universities and in the schools, all the way down into the grade schools, for years, decades upon decades, knowing that years like this year, 2020, were coming. Okay, and you look at the vast majority of Kamala Harris and Biden supporters, they're kids.
Yep.
They're kids. What do they know? Really? I don't want my future decided by them.
That's very well stated, yeah.
Well, I mean, there needs to be, and as far as bringing what she was saying, in essence, was you also wouldn't, we talked about this before, you don't bring in people that are against the American way and the way that we do things, the traditional way of doing things. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like the Ilhan Omars coming here from Somalia, finding a seat in Congress, and then think they're going to try and change the United States to fit where they're from. If Somalia is so great, then take your little ass back there. They need you. Go. Take someone with you.
That's a good point.
I'll buy the plane ticket. I will ship your stuff to you. But get.
Yep.
I'm sick and tired of the Bernie Sanders. There needs to be, you're either for the American way or you're not. And when I say the American way, I'm talking about a democratic republic. That's what we are. Support it or you don't run for office. I don't want to hear about, you know, jihadism. I don't want to hear anything about, people that come here need to remember that they're guests. And if they were to adopt that attitude, everybody would get along a whole lot better. You can be granted American citizenship, but to me, that doesn't necessarily make you an American, because being an American is far more than a piece of paper, Doug.
Yeah, you're right.
And if you can't raise your hand and legitimately, and I'm talking from your heart, mean everything you say in that oath, you don't belong here. Because this is a special place. The United States of America is a gift.
Oh, amen.
God gave us a gift. And I'm really and truly, have no intention of giving that gift over to heathens, anti-Americans, revolutionaries, people that are against our way of life. I'm not thrilled with the immigrant system. And I'll tell you what, we're all immigrants. I got that. But when you bring people in from places like El Salvador, various places in the Middle East, they don't value on human life that we do.
That's very true. No.
Absolutely. And that explains your crime rates. And they took what Trump said out of context again when he called them rapists and murderers. Rape and murder are far more common in those countries. It's more of a way in life. You know, where somebody pulls out a machete and hacks you up over a card game or because you took their glass of milk.
Right.
Okay, we're as an American society, we're past that, man. We're bigger than that. That's one of the reasons why America is such a great place. If America was so screwed up, then why does everybody want to come here? And the other thing I don't get, when you get here, why do you want to change it to be like what you just left?
Yeah, well, I don't get it. You can't come here and try to bring what you left here to make here there.
Exactly. And that's my biggest problem with a lot of Muslims come here and they assimilate and they're wonderful people. I know Muslims. I have Muslims neighbors. You know what? There's good and there's bad.
Sure.
But don't come here and try and change things. Okay. This is basically a Christian country. All right. If you want to come here and assimilate, and we recognize and we allow freedom of religion, and I don't have a problem with freedom of religion, but don't bring your politics here. And that's what people fail to realize. And this is where the Muslims got a pass, just like Barack Hussein Obama has a pass for being black. The Muslims play this pass of freedom of religion. I don't care about your religion. What I care about is that political system that is governed by your religion.
There you go. I was waiting for that.
Thank you. That's how they get away with stuff. Because the first thing they scream is, well, freedom of religion. Yes, you do. I'm not questioning that. I can tell, you know, because there's 59 mosques in my neighborhood now.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. What I have a problem with is your religion is so, you have to be so submissive to that religion that it also governs every aspect of your life. And the aspect that I'm concerned with as an American is your politics. Because your political system and our political system cannot coexist. Mathematically, physically, I don't care how you do it. It won't coexist. Okay? Because as Americans, we're not submissive, okay, to that ideology.
Right.
So don't come. And that's, you know, you get these people get lost in this freedom of religion, freedom of religion, freedom of religion. I got that. We're not barking about your religion. What I'm barking about is the politics that is governed by your religion because it is in direct conflict with our country. It's in direct contrast with the democratic process because in Islam, your decisions are made for you. You have no decision-making process.
Right. Islam is a political ideology wrapped up or disguised as a religion, you know.
So, yeah. And that's, so when you come in and you're spouting that, I'm sorry, I don't want you in office.
Right.
When you come in like when you're Bernie Sanders and I'm looking at videos of you sitting around butt naked in Russia partying, okay, explain to me why you're a senator. You shouldn't be.
That's right.
Okay. You belong sitting in a chair somewhere with Jimmy Carter slobbering peanuts down the front of your shirt. Okay. Cause I got no use for you. I don't want you in my, I don't want you anywhere in the decision making process going on in my country. Period. Sanders should be gone. Ilhan Omar should be gone. I'm sick and tired. This is not a gigantic welfare state. I'm not against welfare. I really am not. What I'm against is free welfare. Okay? If you're going to have welfare, and you're going to be a welfare recipient because that's what you've chosen to do, and you're going to wait at the post office for the 15th of the month because you've had five children and you get $400 a month for each one. Okay. But you need to work. There's plenty of stuff that the government, and this is what I would have if I was president, it wouldn't be free welfare. You'd be doing something. I don't care if you're sitting at home answering the phone. You're going to be doing something during that check. Something. This entire Obamacare is the same thing. It's a socialist program because what they did basically was to provide welfare to 20 million people. I'm sorry, insurance to 20 million people. They penalized how many people? 150 million? 200 million? How many people got penalized? We never know the true numbers.
Right.
But now you have people, look at your premiums, Doug. I used to have a company 10 years ago, and the typical male was about, and I had Mac Daddy Insurance. I'm not going to say the name of it. One of the best in the country. Yup. You know, I'm going to say it anyway, United Healthcare. All right. It was great insurance. My average premium for one of my employees, single, average, regardless of the age, was about $185 a month.
Can't beat that.
And I mean, they were covered up the wazoo.
Right.
Awesome insurance. Same insurance now with the same levels. It's over $1,000 a month. So you tell me what's affordable about the Affordable Care Act. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So when they're crying about Trump being in court trying to abolish the Affordable Care Act and, it's all about pre-existing conditions. No, that's not the case. They want it to implode. I would want the Affordable Care Act to implode. I would absolutely, it would be gone if I was the boss.
It's either the country or that. And, Randy, we're at the end of the hour. It's so quick, man.
I want to say thank you for having me on here. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for putting up with my window. And, please go to the donate page, donate to this show. Okay, it's very, very important. We've got a lot of things on the go. We need your help with that. The election is right around the corner. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for what you have done. And if you haven't, I ask you just please go over there, a couple bucks, help us out. Okay? Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Randy Taylor, we'll be talking with you. Thank you so very much, Randy Taylor, indeed. Send him an email. Tell him how much you like. Comment, too, in the YouTube section. Tell him how much you like him being around. I'm going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Thank you.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Go to HagmanReport.com. That's a change. Go to HagmanReport.com only. HagmanReport.com. One more time, HagmanReport.com. And there you'll see in the upper part a bar. Click on that for the programming, kind of putting everything all in one place so you don't have to bookmark a bunch of places. HagmanReport.com. Again, this has changed. And then click on the bar, and it'll take you right to – see that? When you click on the bar, there you go. Video audio assets for your distinct listening and viewing pleasure. All right. Austin Brower, what a great guy. He's with me right now, and we're going to be kicking this off. I want to tell everyone, though, if you are listening to the sound of my voice, you need to go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And you need to go shopping and go buying Ultimate Multiple Vitamin, your nutritional supplements, all from healthmasters.com, because they've got the best of the best of the best. And I can see Austin in his white lab coat, microscope, test tubes everywhere, and tubing, Bunsen burners going, and making up the concoctions that made. No, seriously. Healthmasters.com, the best ultimate multiple, the best daily vitamin, the best vitamin B, C, D3, K2 combination you can ever get. I don't worry about getting COVID because COVID. I'm kidding, of course. No, I don't worry about, seriously, my immune system. I feel good. I really do. Excellent vitamin C, with antioxidants. You've got the vitamin C powder as well with antioxidants. You've got even children's ultra potent C gummies. And those are back in stock. By the way, they have food buckets there as well. They're all organic. We talked about the last time he was on. Out of all the food potentials for food, go to healthmasters.com, order away. And I don't know how long those are going to be in stock because I just don't. Last hour showed you a video clip of Ayn Rand from 1959 saying, you keep going this way, the United States, it's going to turn out to be, well, just like it is today. So here we are on Friday, October 9th, 2020. Austin Brower's here. Oh, by the way, Health Masters, when you go there, one thing I forgot to mention, I failed to mention this and I apologize. The premier father son radio show on the internet and on satellite. On the top right, Ted and Austin Brower show live 5 days a week for those in San Francisco. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. For those in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, if you want me to say it slower for you, that's Monday. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. Unless your name is Fitzgerald, then there's just no hope for you, right? I'm just having fun. Not picking on anyone in particular, actually, and just having fun. All right. Austin Brower, thanks for joining me.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be on the show, as always, Doug. And just to let everybody know, I don't cook up the vitamins in the house or anything like that. They're all manufactured in a fully certified USDA-approved laboratory, huge facility in Central Florida here. So everything we have is top-tier quality, top-tier nutrients, and it's all manufactured to the highest quality standards. That being said, now...
Wait a second. What are you making in your garage with all that
bathtub, Sudafed, a little bit of water, some Drano. I mean,
kidding.
Go
on. No, you're right. Highest standards, highest quality product. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's the same stuff I give my kids. And almost everybody I've known that's tried the supplements, and they go, man, this actually works. I actually feel it. They're like, oh, I used to take some all-in-one a day or all-in-one from, Walmart. And, sometimes I'd see the vitamins in my poop. And I'm like, literally didn't even dissolve. I'm like, yeah, that's because they're coated in shellac. They don't even dissolve. You put them in water. You can put them in anything. They don't dissolve. They're just a hard tablet. Waste of money. If you're going to spend the money, do it right. If you're not, don't. But if you're going to do it right. That's always my motto on everything. But this is something, you know, the last couple of days I've been researching this significantly. We've talked in detail about what was going to start happening. And I want to get your take on this too, Doug, as far as how, you know, what we can do to handle this. We knew for months they've been prepping the American populace for the COVID pass, this digital passport that you're going to have to comply with this new world that they're trying to force on us. We called this, you and I both did, months and months ago. This was going to be nothing more than a full-blown totalitarian takeover of the last remaining rights that we had to be able to travel freely, unmolested on our way. We've already been massively compromised with TSA, with the Patriot Act, everything that happened after 9/11, our flying rights and our ability to travel from continent to continent and travel throughout the state quickly via planes has been heavily restricted, heavily watched. In some cases, I mean, I've never got x-rayed when I've gone through TSA. I have to volunteer to get groped by another male. It's actually quite disturbing, but I'm not going to get x-rayed. I make a big giant spectacle about it every single time, because if everybody did that, it would slow down the airport so abruptly they would have to do some type of change, because the airlines would say, this is ridiculous. Everybody's late. Everybody's missing planes. They're back charging us. It takes 5, 6, 7 hours to get through TSA because everybody's saying that you're going to have to pat me down. I'm not going to go through a full-blown radiation x-ray scanner. But I digress, because most people have gone in and capitulated. Well, now, as we talk, for months now, they have finally released it. It's reported on the Daily Mail and multiple other articles now. The world's first COVID passport technology is now being trialed on flights from Heathrow this week in a bid to let passengers travel without risk of quarantine in the future. Now, what's happened now with Europe and a lot of other areas, if you fly, pretty much when you get there, you got to quarantine for like 14 days. You fly to another spot, you got to quarantine. You get back to where you're going or from where you're going, you got to quarantine. And, you know, Ted was trying to visit his relatives in Germany this month, actually October, November, and he canceled the whole trip because, I mean, it's been so difficult and so outlandish to try to get over there and all the restrictions they're putting on it. So what they've done is they've made it more and more and more outlandish to try to fly anywhere. They've made it so horrific, so horrible, that the airlines have been crushing sales now. So now, after they figured out how to do it, they've got the COVID pass in place. They said passengers on United Airlines and Cathay Pacific are trying out an app called Common Pass. The phone software is a digital health pass which will hold a certified COVID-19 test status or show someone has had their vaccination in the future once it is released, and is designed to satisfy various government different regulations. It has been launched by nonprofit Trust Commons Project Foundation, part of the World Economic Forum. Of course, they like to be involved in everything, right? They're the World Health Organization. The tech is very much a trial stage, using volunteers on flights between London, New York, Hong Kong, and Singapore under government observation, but it's seen as a long-term measure to allow air travel to return to something like pre-coronavirus levels. Here's the kicker. You're like this. It says, the pass works by passengers taking a test at a certified lab before uploading it to their phone. Or once a vaccine is released, they will allow the vaccine certificate to be uploaded to this app. It then generates a QR code and can be scanned by airline staff and border officials. Now, if that doesn't sound creepy enough, that they now have the COVID pass fully active, and what they're going to do is they're going to try to make it so, again, it's so egregious and so obnoxious to fly. You got to wear a mask. You got to quarantine. We got to ask you questions. You got to be interviewed, that most people are going to go with this pass. Well, at the same time, I guess Heathrow has figured, if we're going all in, we might as well just go all in. We're not even going to try to pretend that we're a free, open community anymore and we have the ability to travel unmolested on our way. IFSEC Global Study has now released the Heathrow Airport in conjunction with the Common Pass in the United Kingdom is now installing biometric gates at every single access point. Heathrow Airport's biometric gates will scan passengers' faces throughout the entire airport. The automated program specifically requires implementing biometric gates that would bring facial recognition to each access point of a departing passenger's journey. The new technology would also use facial recognition at check-in, bag drops, security lanes, and boarding gates to create a seamless experience walking through the airport. Tascent Corporation announced revealed that the touchless streamlined experience will also be at every airport lounge. So not only do airports want to ID and track airline passengers at the front gates and throughout their entire travel, they also want to ID and track them entering and exiting airport lounges. The operations director said the final project looks to have over 400 biometric gates installed across the entire airport. Each one has Dormakaba software on the gates, incorporating Heathrow's biometric data as well as the connection to the management server. To my knowledge, this is not a single known incident of any airport in the entire world, including China, having 400 facial recognition software scanner gates. Remember, let me clarify this. These are not facial recognition cameras that are eyes in the sky watching everything. Those are already everywhere. Those have been out for the last decade. These are actually facial recognition scanners that will scan your face before they allow entry through a gate, meaning you are going to get your face scanned on average anywhere between 3 to 12 times trying to go through the airport between drop-off, bags, tickets, boarding, unboarding, unloading, whatever the case may be. They literally are going to know every single thing you do, and you're going to have every aspect of your facial biometric facial system scanned all day long, on top of having to have a COVID pass just to get in to the airport eventually, is what they're wanting to do. Meaning there will be no going to an airport and traveling freely anymore. There will be no sliding through. They now will use this, and I've talked to numerous people about this, and they already said that this is what the overall plan is these biometrics that are put into place, these biometric gates, slowly but surely this system is going to lock in like a complete and total maximum level security prison, in or out, meaning you go and you start implementing social credit scores like China already has. You go to the airport, as soon as you get stopped at the first gate, you get flagged. Oh, I'm sorry, you've been flagged for this now. Or you've been designated a white supremacist terrorist militia. I'll get into that later, how much they're doing that now with Homeland Security. Now, pretty much, if you're white and if you're a male and you say anything that doesn't go along with the mainstream narrative, you're pretty much classified as a white supremacist terrorist now. Almost anything can get you classified as that. So this is what they're doing in Heathrow. They're planning on expanding it globally at the point where you literally will not be able to set foot into an airport. You'll be stopped immediately for any reason whatsoever if your facial recognition system is flagged. So my next question to all this, Doug, is where do we go from here? Do we just not fly? I haven't flown in years. I prefer to drive in general just because I do not like to deal with airports unless I have somebody that's like has a plane that I can catch a ride on. But I mean, how do we handle this now, bud? Because we just took it from like 0 to 100 really fast. I mean, we already had lockdowns. We already had these measures. We already knew what was going on with the COVID pass. And all of a sudden it's here right now. Bam, right on top of us. What do we do with this?
You know, you're not going to like my answer, but I'll tell you this. Number one, I will never submit to, submit to a vaccine or to, testing or anything like that. That would, whatever grants me this common pass or COVID pass, common pass, which is part of it. The World Economic Forum dictating this, I would never submit to that. So, you know, here's the thing. I've seen us try to tell people, okay, like what you do, don't get nuked at the airport. You know, don't stand in there, you know, with your arms raised like a moron out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's so unnecessary. So get, you know, in fact, it's unnecessary to be patted down. Bring back the old style back in the 70s when they had the metal detectors. All right. And then do profiling as much as possible because, just do the profiling. That works. So, but to get back to your question, I don't think you're going to like my answer. My answer is we haven't been successful in telling people, all right, don't do the nuke thing. Make it a point to, resist the TSA. No one does it. Why? Because that's inconvenient. Plus, yeah. You know, if one person does it, they'll get arrested. Half a dozen do it. Maybe a news crew will show up and you'll still get arrested. 100 people do it. Oh, wow. You know, we'll do it for a day. And, boy, you know, yeah. But see, we don't have enough people who want to get involved. So I see the only way I see out of this is one involving a lot of bloodshed. And that's my answer, because I think it's going to take that 3% or that small part of the population who are going to say no and hell no. And we're going to show you where our line is, because you crossed it. And, now I don't advocate that. I'm not hoping for that. I'm really not, because only a moron would want that to happen. But I can't see any other way out of this, because they have painted us into such a corner. And, you know, the next thing they're going to be doing is painting us into the corner with our own blood. That's the way I feel about this. So I'm all in, and I'm not going to let my children be subjugated to the whims of the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, some United Nations body, some New World Order crap. And, I'm not going to give up my constitutional rights that were given to me. My rights that were given to me by God Almighty. I'm not going to have to stand on Judgment Day and answer the question, well, why didn't you fight for them? And I don't want to tell my children that I didn't fight for them. Well, because it just wasn't convenient. I was really too comfortable at the time. No. So that's the answer to the question. If we don't all get together, then just a small percentage of us are going to have to make the difference. And that difference, those people are not going to like. You know, we're not talking about half a dozen morons out there talking about kidnapping Governor Whitmer, okay?
I saw that. I've ranted about it on my show today. I wish people realized the FBI has done this hundreds of times. They put informants in with clowns that basically say dumb stuff, and they stoke them up, then they give them stuff, then they fund them with stuff, then they give them fake bombs, and they go, okay, by the way, yeah, we know you wanted to do this now, and we know we gave you fake bombs, and we encouraged you, and we drove you, and we dropped you off, and we told you we'd pay you to do it, but now that you said you do it, we're throwing you in prison for 25 years because you're a domestic terrorist. This whole stunt that they pulled with Whitmer was nothing more than a full-blown publicity stunt to try to convince the narrative. I read about this whole thing on here. These guys were, honestly, they were acting stupid. They were acting way too flamboyant. They had some ideas that, I'm not going to lie, were not wrong in the aspect that they wanted to live under a true constitutional law. They did not want to deal with the unlawful acts that this governor's been doing, and they wanted to do a citizen's arrest on her. And I get to that extent. The problem is they went around the wrong way, and then they were stupid enough to bring in an FBI informant, which you have to realize, I think they said on roughly there's over 15,000 FBI informants in the United States operating on a regular basis. Oh, yeah. And again, that's exactly what they did in East Germany. The Stasi Germans, the Stasi Russian, the Stasi police. This is what it was all about. They knew it was so effective. That's why the FBI has implemented it here. You have snitches everywhere. So you got to be very careful. I'm going to talk to your listeners real quick. I've been involved in a lot of constitutional militias, been involved in a lot of people that train, actively train, retired military. I'll tell you right now, be very careful. If you're getting into one of these groups, or you have a group and you let random people in, know who you're dealing with. I'm being honest with you on that, because there's a high probability now these FBI agents, especially what they came out with Homeland Security again last month or in August, basically said that white supremacy, domestic terrorism is the greatest threat. Well, yeah, they make sure they fudge the numbers by coming up with stupid incidences like this. Now, all over the media today, you saw attempted kidnapping of governor. And I'm like, attempted kidnapping? Give me a break. These guys weren't standing in her vacation home with duct tape and a knife while she was in bed and they caught them. They put some stupid plans together. They had some dumb ideas, and they were stupid enough to have an FBI informant in their group with them recording everything that they were saying. So this is why it's so important you know who's around you and you know who your friends are, because this is the issue that they're running here. Remember, the FBI has to justify its own existence. Gretchen has a horrible, horrible time holding the narrative right now after the Michigan Supreme Court ruled that what she did was unconstitutional. And now she's trying to pull the narrative back and control Michigan and lock it back down because she's just a globalist stooge bunny.
But by the way, if I just want to say this. If I was the one doing the kidnapping and I kidnapped Gretchen Whitmer, I would actually pay someone to take her off my hands. Okay. I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? I'm serious. I couldn't stand it, but no, continue. That was a off color joke apparently, but no, you're right though. You're right in what you're saying. And I agree with you, by the way. You don't want to, when you're a constitutionalist, you don't want to cross that line into, what would you call it? Into tyranny. I mean, or whatever you would, the criminal element there. You can have your group without being a white supremacist, without being that person or that group that crosses that particular line. So you do it smart, but go on, continue.
No, and that's well said. And I mean, and I read some of the stuff, and I mean, I get the context of what they're saying. They want to extradite her to Wisconsin and basically have federal charges brought upon her for violating the Constitution. I get what they were saying. The problem with it was you can't just go around like kidnapping people and show up at their vacation home. You can't just do that. That's also not okay. But on the other hand, too, is it okay for the FBI to put somebody in their group and intentionally stoke them up and incentivize them and talk them into doing it? And then when they talk about doing it, they get arrested when they start looking at how to do it? I mean, this is what we saw, the guys with the homeless black men in New York. Basically, the FBI recruited and told them they were going to give them $250,000 if they set off that bomb with that surface air missile. They give them the bomb. They give them the stuff. And they go, oh, yeah, by the way, you're under arrest now for domestic terrorism. They go, why? Well, because you accepted money, basically, and you said you were going to set off a bomb. Okay, so we're going to recruit homeless people that have no money and nothing to lose. We're going to tell them we're going to give them $250,000 if they set off a bomb. And then they go say, okay, we'll set off the bomb, and it's a fake bomb because you set the whole thing up. You're an orchestrated stooge in the FBI. Now you're throwing the person in prison for the rest of their life. I mean, where does an entrapment and where does a constitutional oath? Because now we find out that the FBI spends $3 billion a year on counterterrorism. They have to justify that budget. The largest portion of their budget, they said our nation's top law enforcement agency traditionally focused on investigating crimes after they occur, now operates as an intelligence organization that tries to preempt crimes before they occur or make criminals out of people to justify why they have such an outlandish budget. And that's pretty much what the FBI has turned into. Now you got the ATF, those asshats over there. Now they're saying that the Honey Badger rifle that has a brace on it, saying, now we're going to reclassify this as a short barrel rifle, even though it's a pistol. It's asinine, Doug. It is not coincidental.
I thought of you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overtalk you, but I thought of you when I saw that. It was just a hit on the news. And I thought, what the hell are they talking about? And I was hoping he'd bring this up and explain it to me. AR-15 pistol? Is that what am I hearing?
About 5 years ago, well, before that, AR pistols were a thing, but usually they were very unwieldy because they had a buffer tube and you couldn't put a stock on them. Well, a veteran back 5 years ago with SIG figured out that you could put a stabilizer brace on that buffer tube. And it's still an AR pistol. If the AR rifle is shorter than 16 inches, the barrel length is shorter than 16 inches, it magically becomes a short-barreled rifle. Or if there's no stock on it, it magically becomes a pistol. Don't ask me how the ATF defines this stuff because, quite frankly, they're a bunch of unconstitutional, unlawful goons. Or they're the ones that ran 2,500 machine guns and 50-caliber rifles to the Mexican drug cartel and accidentally lost them. And then we found one of them killed a border agent. More of them were El Chapo's compound. That ATF agent that Eric Holder was running that nobody ever got indicted or went to jail for that debacle, that giant gun-running scandal that actually we found out escalated to way more than just Mexico. Or they were the same group that said that Randy Weaver sold them a sawed-off shotgun when he did not, which allowed them to descend on his property, which brought FBI sniper teams in who executed his wife in front of them and blew her head off while she was holding Randy Weaver's child. That ATF agency. Oh, yeah. And the same agency that raided the Waco Branch Davidian compound as a publicity stunt so they could try to make themselves look like they were doing something positive, and in turn shot David Koresh unarmed and their dog and multiple people on a completely and totally unprovoked raid on the compound, and in turn had a 51-day siege and ended up killing the entire residents in there, including women and children. Yeah, that ATF agency. So I don't really have to give you any more. I can keep going on and on and on for the rest of the show to tell you what an unbelievably unlawful, murderous thug group ATF is and how they should be disbanded, but I'm not going to get into that today, so I'll leave it at that. So essentially what's happened is a stock is making a rifle an SBR. A brace makes that rifle a pistol. Stupid, stupid, stupid stuff. There shouldn't even be tax stamps for barrel links. I never saw anything in the Constitution of the Second Amendment about your pistol or your rifle can only have so many length of barrel because it makes it dangerous if it's shorter. So what's happened is now for years, groups including SB Tactical have come out with braces. And honestly, they act like stocks. A lot of people use them like stocks. I'm not going to sit here and try to paint some halo over my head and say, oh, so it is. But it's considered a brace. It's still considered a brace by the ATF. Well, a company called Q basically came out with a very short barrel rifle called the Honey Badger. It was 8-inch long, 300 blackout. They also made it 5.56, real short compact. Well, then they came out with a pistol version. So they changed the stock, took the stock off, and made it a brace again. Well, it's been completely approved by the ATF for years, and all these other ones have been approved. Well, now you have some bean counter that decided he's a far leftist in the ATF group, and they've come out now and said, oh, by the way, we've decided we're reclassifying this. This rifle is no longer a pistol with a brace. It is now a short barrel rifle, and you have to go tax stamp it, pay $200, submit your fingerprints, put it on a list with NFA category, and wait to get your tax stamp back, or you're going to be classified as a felon in possession of an unregistered short barrel rifle. This is how ATF likes to operate now, and it's unbelievably unlawful and unconstitutional. They deem what they see fit whenever they want, regardless of law. Remember, this isn't going to Congress. This isn't getting ratified. This is an executive order. They just change law and legislative law whenever they feel like doing it. They just turn around and say, well, this is what we're going to do now. This is pretty much what we think. And what we have found now over the years is that ATF has been hiring and been stacking huge amount of leftist Democrats in the ATF agency. It's almost a point now where you're a constitutionalist, you're a patriot, you want a government job, you can't even get hired at ATF, period. They're intentionally hiring more and more people that are far leftist, that aren't concerned about the violence in Chicago. Let's send an ATF team since they want to be badasses and put full kits on and run around and go shoot people at compounds that are not doing anything unlawful. They want to do that. Let's send them to Chicago and let them start investigating all the illegal gun running that goes through Chicago, which has caused the crime wave insanely to occur in the black community. Well, they don't want to do that, because that means they'd actually have to do something for their money. They want to go now and take law-abiding citizens who legally own rifles, who have never committed a single crime, and say, hey, now we say that brace on your rifle is not a brace anymore. It's a stock. Why? Because we said it's a stock, and we said it's a felony now. And if you don't register it, we're charging you with a felony if we catch you with it. This is not coincidental. This is happening right now, Doug. And as much as I like some of the stuff Donald Trump has, one of the worst things he has done in his administration, probably the worst, was giving the green light to ATF to ban bump fire stocks. That was something that gave the ATF entirely way too much autonomy to go back and rewrite 1934 law to actually rephrase the terminology for a machine gun. They did it. They got away with it. And the problem is, I warned everybody when it happened in 2017 after that shooting.
You did.
I said, this is going to embolden the ATF. I said, you're giving them way too much autonomy. The President of the United States is now pretty much telling them they can do whatever the heck they want, including rewriting the wording of law that's almost 100 years old without any congressional oversight whatsoever. And now it's coming back to bite us in the butt, because now we're coming out now and saying we're going to start banning braces because we think they're stocks, or this rifle isn't that rifle, and it's not good. And I do not think for one second it is coincidental right now at all, because Biden and Harris have already said they want to do full-blown gun bans, gun buybacks, everything if they get into office. Will they be able to do it? I don't know. Will this election even turn into a giant debacle? It looks to me like that's what it's going to be. Heck, we may have Nancy Pelosi as the interim president by the end of the year. There's no telling anymore, Doug. 2020, has got so many surprises around the corner. You can't bet hardly on anything right now because just about everything will catch you off guard, which that's why I pretty much found it's best to be prepared for anything and everything right now. I mean, the fact that you see people walking around with masks on still in Florida, even though we've lifted all restrictions, there's no fines, you can't be kicked out or arrested, nothing. But now people are still wearing masks. That shows me that a large percentage of the population still has their head so far up their butt they don't know what time of day it is, which is very troubling to me and exactly what you brought up with Heathrow Airport and how very few people are probably going to stand their ground, much less even say anything about this.
You know, I don't know whether you caught this or not. Pelosi made a big deal about making this 25th Amendment commission of, I think, what, 17 former cabinet members, former presidents, vice presidents, whatever, to oversee the actions of course, in air quotes, future presidents. So she gave this press conference today. I don't know whether you saw this Muppet head or not, Pelosi. She was wearing a mask, and Lord only knows what the hell this mask was. I don't know. It had pink polka or blue polka dots on it or something. It was just weird. But she couldn't even wear her friggin' mask right. All right. It kept falling down past her nose. And you know, I was watching her and I thought, my God, this is so painful to watch, number one. And then when she adjusts, I mean, you talk about making it worse for the disease. If this, I just can't even get the words out. But I mean, when I watched it, I don't know what hacked me off more. Her talking about the 25th Amendment and saying, oh, it's really not about Donald Trump. It's about, you know, future instances, which is totally unconstitutional, or the way she was talking and the mask kept falling and she kept looking like a total moron. Did you happen to see that, by the way?
No, I didn't. Oh, it doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, time on her interviews and when she does speeches, you can tell she's about half inebriated, if not fully inebriated, slurring her words, losing her train of thought, can't figure out half the time what she's saying. I mean, she's just the epitome of a failed government right there. And the fact that she's Speaker of the House is embarrassment to me as an American. But they're already trying to gear. She already came out and said that a couple weeks ago. That she basically, if they can't figure this out with the Electoral College and somebody's on a clear winner and the ballots aren't all done, that basically, you know, she has to step in. And
I'm telling you what, I'll pick you up. Is she, if she happens to somehow occupy the White House, I'm coming down. I'm going to pick you up. And, I'm serious. I'm not going to stand for this. And I wonder how many Americans would stand for that. I don't think that's even part of the democratic process, constitutional process. I didn't mean to overtalk you there, but my gosh, are you serious? What, you know, how blatant can people be and how stupid can others be by allowing this to happen? And I'm not advocating violence. I'm not, folks, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that we have to stand up for what is correct, what's proper, what's moral. And, you know, our rights are given to us by God. They're delineated by the Constitution. And we should cherish and protect those rights. We shouldn't allow them to be squandered by people like Pelosi and Schumer and others. That's
all. Amen. No, that's exactly right. And this is why, you know, once you do the research and you realize how ineffective and how useless masks are and how unhealthy they are for you, that's why I told people, I said, the mask was the easy thing. That was the easy part to say no to. The COVID pass facial recognition now in the airports, that's not so easy. The mandated vaccine so you can go to the grocery store and buy food for your family, if that occurs, that's the real wild one that starts to happen. But for some odd reason, everybody just goes, just wear a mask, Austin. Stop pitching food. Don't act like this. I'm like, no, I'm not. And I pulled up the article I posted on the website. If anybody's seen this now, from Dr. Marguerite Greisen-Breeson. She's MD, PhD, and she wrote an article, excellent article. It's on the website at Health Masters. I'll read an excerpt from her right here. It's very long. But she is basically, well, I'll give you her pedigree. You want to know if this lady's educated or not. She is very, very well-versed, been in the industry for almost 50 years. She is a consultant neurologist, neurophysiologist with a PhD in pharmacology, with special interest in neurotoxicology, environmental medicine, neuroregeneration, and neuroplasticity. She went on to say, and I quote, "The re-inhalation of our exhaled air without a doubt creates an oxygen deficiency and a flooding of carbon dioxide. We know that the human brain is very sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are nerve cells, for example, in the hippocampus that cannot be longer than 3 minutes without oxygen. They cannot survive. The acute warning symptoms are headaches, drowsiness, dizziness, issues in concentration, slowing down of reaction time, and reactions of the cognitive system. However, when you have chronic oxygen deprivation, all of those symptoms disappear because your brain deals with it. But the efficiency will remain impaired, and the undersupply of oxygen in your brain continues to progress. We know that neurodegenerative diseases take years to decades to develop. While you're thinking you got used to wearing your mask and rebreathing your own exhaled air, the degenerative process in your brain is getting amplified as your oxygen deprivation continues." Then she goes on to say here, "There is no unfounded medical exemption from face masks because oxygen deprivation is dangerous to every single brain." Meaning any face mask exemption is legit. You don't even have to have a doctor's order. Decreased oxygen to the brain is an issue. And what's even further, and this is the part that really troubled me. You know, you've seen it, the CDC's own admission, the mortality rate of children 0 to 19 right now from COVID is 0.00003. I think I left one on there. 3%. 0.00003%. It's nothing. It's literally nothing. But yet, we still have children, these little children, run around all day long with masks on. All day long. They're on the school bus. I see them get off the school bus. They're still wearing their mask walking down the sidewalk. And here's the part that really made me mad, and this is where she really got my attention. She said, "For children and adolescents, masks are an absolute no-no. Children and adolescents have an extremely active and adaptive immune system, and they need constant interaction with the microbe of the earth. The child's brain or youth brain is thirsting for oxygen. The more metabolically active the organ is, the more oxygen it requires. In children and adolescents, every organ is metabolically active. To deprive a child or an adolescent's brain from oxygen or to restrict it in any way is not only dangerous, it is absolutely criminal. Oxygen deprivation inhibits the development of a child's brain, and the damage that takes place as a result cannot be reversed." This is from the German doctor. I have it on the website. A lot of people have been sharing this video. A lot of social media platforms have been taking it down now. They're saying, oh, well, she's not completely accurate. Dude, this lady, her background, her pedigree proves enough. You can do research on her. She's been involved in this industry for 50 years. She's blatantly saying this is one of the stupidest things you can do is wear a mask on your face all the time. If you're absolutely incredibly sick, you know you're sick and you're contagious, and you have to go out somewhere for a very specific reason and cannot stay in your home, put a mask on because you're unbelievably sick and don't cough or hack and try to get in and out as quickly as possible. That is it. If you're healthy, if you're walking around, if you're by yourself, if you're doing anything at all realistically and you're healthy, there's not a single justifiable reason whatsoever to wear a mask anywhere. In fact, it is horrible for the children to wear because she said the children, as I just said, need to be exposed to different viruses and germs on a regular basis. That's how they grow. It's so funny to me, Doug, how Christians are claiming to be Christians. They believe in the deity of Christ. They believe that God basically sent his son to die on the cross, that we were uniquely and wonderfully made by God Almighty, right? I believe that. I know you believe that. A lot of people proclaim to believe that. But yet now, all of a sudden, there's a mysterious virus that you have to test to find out if you even have it. And they're willing to compromise their own health, their own immune system, not trust what God gave them in the nutrients that we have on file, like D3, like vitamin C, that have been shown in study after study after study now for the last year that knocks out COVID rapidly. In a research study in New York, 100% success rate of intravenous vitamin C on patients that were in the ICU in a hospital up there. 100% success rate. No deaths at all once they got vitamin C intravenously. And I know people that have been taking oral D3 and oral vitamin C, and as they got sick, when they got sick, and it knocked it out within a few days. And a lot of people that I know that take it on a regular basis, like hardly ever get sick like me. This is what's so incredibly insane to me, and then people are still running around with masks on, and I can't convey it anymore. Take the dirty diaper off your face and let your body breathe like God made it to. If you are sick and you're running around, you're going somewhere, you shouldn't even be outside, honestly, in the first place. You need to be at home if you really are sick. If you have to wear a mask for that, wear it. But this asinine stuff, like wearing it to the store, and now you see Governor Newsom, the babbling buffoon governor in California, who I can't think he can make any more stupid comments, and then he goes out and just totally surprises me. He now said over the weekend, hey, you need to make sure you put your mask up between bites. So if you're sitting there and you're eating, you take your mask down, you put food in, you put your mask back on. And you keep it there while you chew your food until you're ready to take another bite. Oh, yeah. There's a whole diagram. There's a whole diagram now of it showing somebody eating. They have their mask down. They're eating. They put their mask back up and have their mask on while they're chewing. They take it back off to eat again. Not only is that incredibly disgusting, Doug, you got food particles. You're breathing through your mouth, through your nose. You're chewing your food. You got a filter sucked up to your face. You're now recycling and breathing in food molecules that are coming out of your breath. And now you're sitting there getting food on the inside of your mask. I mean, I can't think of a nastier thing to do while you eat than put a mask on in between bites. That's what this clown said. And people are actually doing it, Doug. That's the embarrassing part about this. They're actually doing it.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, I went to a restaurant. I think I might have talked to you since this, but I said, I'm not putting a mask on. So if you want to kick me out, kick me out, but I ain't doing it. And I just sat there and didn't, you know, I had no, I'm not going to put one on going to a table, you know, paying the bill. I'm just not going to do it. You know, what are you going to do? You want to kick me out, kick me out. Go ahead. Go ahead. What do you think of, I have to ask, by the way, that's disturbing about Newsom. What the hell's wrong with that idiot? I'm serious. He's an idiot. If that's his brainchild of an idea, man. But anyway, it's almost as bad as Cousin It over here in Pennsylvania. I can't figure out if he's a guy or a woman or if it's an it or what it is, but. Anyway, I'm going to ask you, what's up with President Trump on the coronavirus thing? What's your take on this? I haven't had a chance to listen to you, your program this week, and I apologize, but what's up with that?
Well, I've seen numerous reports now saying that a lot of this stuff, they're stemming back to the debate. Something maybe possibly about the green room. It's very coincidental to me. Actually, it's not even coincidental. I'm being sarcastic. The fact that, you know, his – I forgot the girl's name. The one that does all the media stuff on the blonde girl. Yes, she got it. He got it. Bunch of people got it. I mean, all these people that are around each other all the time. You got to think about it, man. This presidential entourage, especially right now, you know, you don't have a lot of outsiders. You're not running around and bringing all kinds of new people in and new people out. It's ironic to me that they have their own personal entourage and all of a sudden a lot of them get it. I don't even know if it was COVID. It may have been some type of poisoning, or it may have actively been a virus they tried to expose them to in an aerosol particle. You know, I mean, I don't know. I can only speculate, but it's very strange to me how it all went down. And then he came out, which I didn't like it. He said, dude, don't live in fear of the virus. Don't let it control your life at all. But then he kind of has like almost like a drug manufacturer spiel talking about the drugs they gave him and how good he's feeling. I don't know. Something's very odd about it. It's off-putting to me. It doesn't make sense. I don't know if he even was sick. I think he was. He looked a couple times at some of the stuff. You could tell he's exhausted. I don't know. I really don't have the answer. I wish I did. I've heard numerous reports and numerous different things that are unvetted. I can't really say what it is. But there's definitely something very strange about it. Definitely coincidental. And now they're saying, you know, that they want to do the next debate with him and Biden via teleconference, you know, basically in separate places. And Trump was like, absolutely not. That's idiotic. Because he already knows what's going to happen with that. They're going to have full-blown screens all around Biden so he can have, you know, 50 different responses every time Trump says something. Where he saw that in the screen and the reflection in his basement. He had a doggone teleprompter, you know, and different answers just when he got on camera to say something. The man's got dementia. I don't know if they stoked him up on amphetamines or what for the last one because he was actually mildly sharp compared to normal. But, yeah, I think Trump's fine, in my opinion. I don't think there's any issues with him. He may have caught it. He may have legitimately caught it. But I don't think, like I said, it's too coincidental to me that multiple people involved caught that stuff that were all around each other at the same time, considering how strict they are. And then Pelosi came out and says, she was, well, if Trump would have been wearing his mask like he did, he would have caught it. And I'm like, dude, even the CDC and everybody said the masks do absolutely nothing to protect you. They're only there for you to protect other people. And in that being said, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life with people walking around with masks on. I still reiterate it. Yeah. I would feel mad, man. People get mad at me. I got kicked out a lot of places. But to me, it just shows me what place I'm not going to spend my money at.
I can't envision you getting kicked out of anywhere. Just can't. Now, there's something terribly wrong, I think, with that whole President Trump infection thing. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not what they're telling me it is.
No.
You know, and yeah, that's an odd thing. And also the treatment regimen they had him on, I don't know, man. I just don't know. But okay. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised to see weaponization of this. And by the way, folks, healthmasters.com, that's where we get all of our nutritional supplements, healthmasters.com. It's the best you can buy, folks. Please go there today, tonight. Order your nutritional supplements. This is stuff you need. This is not optional. This because, you know, we're not getting the nutrients from food. So Ultimate Multiple, either in powder or capsule form, absolutely a great stuff. It's going to make you feel a lot better, as well as your vitamins B, C, D3, K2, the whole package. Look, it's not that believe me, you can go to Walmart or your local bodega, right, and buy a dollar bottle of whatever, and it won't do a thing for you. This stuff is really good. So there you have it right there. Product of the week, Ultimate Multiple Powder, which Eric the Tech loves this stuff. Eric the Tech, am I right? I mean, you love this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. He actually rolls up a $100 bill and snorts this right through, right off his desk. But, I'm going to get email on this. But, yeah. Ultimate Multiple Powder is really the way to go for shakes and such in the morning, for drinks in the morning, as well as even throughout the day. But please, folks, do it today. And I'm very serious about this. Order from Health Masters. You will not be sorry. And let me know how you feel a month in of taking these supplements. That's healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com, linked in the program description box below at hagmanreport.com. Click on the banner. It takes you to the audio video links, and there you have it, audio video page, and there you have it. So open it up, and the link will be there to healthmasters.com. As if you need it, healthmasters.com. How hard is that? You guys okay?
Good. I say the name's easy, and let me put a disclaimer out there. We do not suggest ingesting multiple powder other than orally. We do not encourage people to snort it. Just want to put that disclaimer out there.
Man, you know, you're harsh but mellow.
Mix it in water, mix it in shake, mix it in smoothies. The stuff goes together great with it. I mean, it's definitely one of the most popular products we have simply because it's so inclusive that it has everything in it. It's so easy to take. The one we have currently on sale right now is the one that's not as sweet as our original formula. It's a little flatter. It's still like a fruit berry blend, but the original one we came out with, and we have both of them. The original one is very sweet, which a lot of people like. A lot of people say it tastes like Kool-Aid, and it gives you a ton of energy.
It does.
Loaded with bioactive B vitamins.
I like the original flavor. I'm a sweet kind of guy, so.
A lot of people like it. I mean, the one we made for everybody is we had a lot of people that wanted it, and so they wanted it not as sweet, so we got it for them. And so they liked that one a little bit better, but I still think the original formula, it does really good. It probably sells better still because a lot of people, and it kind of hits that sweet tooth a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to drink a soda. You really don't need to be drinking Kool-Aid. I mean, that stuff's horrible for you, but you want something to kind of add some flavor. It's great. I mean, I had a buddy of mine that I used to work out with. He used to always have a jug of water with him everywhere. He starts scooping his jug of water. Still scooping it. You drink it while it works out the whole time. He's like, dude, better than drinking water. He's like, water gets so boring. I said, I know. I said, I was a bodybuilder too. Water after a while just gets obnoxious. And another one that's really good, just on the topic, if you exercise a lot, if you're very active, if you're working outside, you can also mix the combination of the multiple and or if you want to just by itself, the Muscle Blast formula. That's our full spectrum amino acid formula. It's not just the three that normally is in most amino acid formulas. It's a full spectrum, really helps out with muscle endurance and recovery. And that's one that I personally use in my jug that I drink all the time while I work out. I mix that together with the magnesium brain food with the HGH stimulate. It's a pretty aggressive cocktail while you work out, but it gives you a ton of non-caffeinated, non-stimulated energy. So you don't have any ups or downs. I try not to use much caffeine anymore just because my heart, but it's very, very good. It tastes good. It gives you a lot of energy. So for people that are into, you know, running, training, CrossFit, working out, exercising, shoot, just getting back in shape right now and having better stamina in the gym, it's definitely one of the best options for you right now.
That's good, man. I appreciate the fact that you you have the different combinations. I do like the powder, especially in the water that that I drink. But by the way, the magnesium blend is just a fantastic. The magnesium,
magnesium brain food.
Thank you.
Yeah,
awesome. Boy, wasn't that ironic? Magnesium, magnesium brain food. Yeah.
I'm gonna send you a can after the show, Doug.
Oh man, I'm not taking enough of that apparently. No, but that works. And I believe in that, and I believe in I believe in all the products, but that really works as well as. Well, all of your products do. So healthmasters.com, folks, please, because you don't know. And right now we're getting down to the wire with November 3rd. November 4th is going to be a really interesting day, I have a feeling. Look, either we're not going to know and people are going to be on edge and really on edge, or somebody's not going to be happy. Either way, people aren't going to be happy. So, I would say make sure you order now while there's no supply disruptions, because you don't know what's going to happen. So that's healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. All right.
Yeah, and just an update, too, with shipping. Just getting everybody a heads up on this so everybody knows it's going to be across the board with the industry. Because of the 70, 80, 90 million ballots they've shipped out now, some asinine amount of numbers that they ship out and unsolicited on top of that. We already know, I'm not going to get into the voter fraud, ballot fraud. They've already busted multiple times people that have thrown ballots in trash cans and ditches. The shipping through the different venues through the Postal Service. We use the Postal Service a lot primarily because of the cost and the speed. It's pretty efficient for what it is. There's a high probability coming into the end of October, going into the beginning of November, the Postal Service is going to get heavily bogged down. So understand, and I encourage everybody, if you're wanting to stock up on some supplements or you want to get the food buckets or the food bucket, you know, two packs or something like that, if you're stocking up on stuff, I highly suggest that you give it about a week before that election to make sure you got everything in line. Because, I mean, you know, us here, we run wide open all day long. And we try to ship stuff out same day, all day, every day, except for the weekends. So that being said, though, once the system, you know, once it's out of the office, it's out of our hands, so to speak, as far as getting it to you. We rely on the Postal Service or even UPS. But I know a lot of companies have already told me, coming into the fall, coming into Christmas time, coming into November, and then with this insane election with all these ballots, that there is going to be a huge, huge strain on the United States Postal Service. So be prepared for that. I'm not trying to spook anybody or make anybody feel weird. I'm just giving everybody a heads up. I don't want to get phone calls. Everybody goes, well, I ordered my stuff on November 1st and you shipped it out and it's not here yet. It's November 5th. We generally get stuff to everybody about 2 to 3 days. But I'm telling you right now, that whole little segment of time right before the election or right after the election, we're still going to be shipping. We're still going to be wide open. Health Masters never slows down. But there may be some delays. Just want to put that disclaimer out there so I don't get a bunch of angry phone calls and people go, I ordered my stuff yesterday morning. It's not here yet. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're in Washington State, I'm in Florida. I literally can't even fly there that fast. Please be patient. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for your support of healthmasters.com, of just everything your listeners do, Doug, and just forwarding our shows, forwarding your shows. The best thing we can do right now is get this information out there and try to wake people up the best we can. It really is.
Amen to that. We only have about three, four minutes left of the show. Anything that you want to close with that we didn't touch upon that you think we need to, or anything else that we should be looking at that we're not?
I think, you know, to quote David Icke, you know, when he said, you know, America or humanity, humankind, get off your knees. I saw the other day, he said something I thought it was a very, very just, you know, very basic but still profound statement. Wake up and get up. Stop kneeling and submitting to tyranny. That's all this is. We've already seen the research now with what vitamin C and D3 does to a virus. We've already seen the death rates, even untreated. We've already seen the way it spreads and how people respond to it. This isn't new anymore. You know, at first we all were very cautious. We're like, what's going on with China? What'd they send over here? They sent us some avian bird flu / bubonic plague. We didn't know what the heck it was. We really didn't. And the media fueled it even further. And now we know what it really is. And so these areas that are locking people down, voice your opinion, man. If you got to go out and peacefully protest, do so. I mean peacefully. Molotov cocktails and skateboards to people's heads are not peaceful. We clarify that. But just
– well, Ted Wheeler thinks they are, but, you know.
Let me get it straight. If you're terrorist BLM or Antifa, that's completely peaceful. Burning down buildings, crushing windshields, and beating people with skateboards, that's totally peaceful. There's nothing unpeaceful about that whatsoever. As asinine as that concept is, they try to push. And, you know, I think it's frustrating because, you know, you see the media where they just full-blown lie to us now. They don't even try to play, oh, well, this or that. They'll flat out say, that's not blue, it's green. And you're looking at it and you're going, I know that's blue. Everybody says that's blue. And they go, no, it's green. It's absolutely green. You're a moron because you don't think it's green. And people go, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's blue. No, it's not. It's green. You're an idiot. It's green. And finally, after a while, people go, maybe it is green. Is it green? Maybe I'm just seeing stuff weird. And that's what the media has done. And just a basic example of that, but on a wide scale now with the media. So I tell people, dude, turn off CNN and all the bullcrap. Turn off Fox. I'm going to watch Fox. Fox is garbage. Occasionally, they'll put something out there that's right-wing or conservative intentionally to try to keep people on the fence with. Remember, Fox is owned by Disney. We're not going to get into Disney. Disney's still telling people they got to wear masks while they walk around outside with their families that they rode with there. And if you don't wear your mask or you take your mask off outside the designated food and drink area, they will kick you out from the park. Ted and Sharon called them up the other day to confirm that. And they told them verbatim, if you do not wear your mask, if you are seen, we will give you a warning. And then we will ask you to leave the premises for not complying with our rules on private property. So you already know my stance on Disney. My stance, again, was do not worry. I will not grace you with my presence. You will never see me at Walt Disney World. A, I'm not going to pay for it. B, I'm not going to have to go somewhere where I automatically know I'm going to have some massive conflict on private property because that's just not my fight to try to go and start.
Amen, brother. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Austin Brewer, folks, healthmasters.com. He's got a program Monday through Friday. There it is right there on, you see that blue right there on the upper right blue? Ted and Austin Brewer show live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You can click there to listen to the show live from 3 to 4 p.m. or click to, listen to the archive. It'll take you right through to the archive. And of course, 7 to 8 on Sundays. And of course, healthmasters.com. Folks, do it now. Get the food buckets, the organic food buckets before they're gone. They're not going to last long. So get those now. That's healthmasters.com for the food buckets for all of your supplemental needs, nutritional supplement needs. I guarantee you, you're going to feel a lot different. It's going to make a big difference. And if you are afraid of the COVID, if you're afraid of that, then, or if you're, you know what, you don't even have to be afraid of it. I'm making fun there. But if you are concerned about your health, as well you should, go ahead and click on healthmasters.com. Type it in the address bar, healthmasters.com, and go shopping. Ted or Austin Brewer do a great show every Monday through Friday and Sundays as well. So I want to thank you again for your time. Appreciate what you do. And we'll be next week. Next week we might be talking about. I'm trying to think. I was trying to think of what could be. It could be like really bizarre, but anything could happen.
I'm waiting on a alien invasion. That'll put the icing on the cake for 2020. That's what I'm expecting next.
Yeah, exactly. Nixon on the front page. You go to the grocery store, on the front page is of the magazine is Nixon with the alien shaking hands, or Elvis shaking hands with the alien.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be Trump with with an alien shaking hands. All right, brother. Thank you. Give your dad my best, your family my best. Thank you for everything. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right. That was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. A tremendous program, tremendous young man, tremendous father-son team. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night for the Hagman Report. HagmanStore.com, by the way, for coffee. HagmanStore.com and HagmanReport.com. Good night.